January the 27th, it was a Monday evening, we had the first meeting of the steering committee of the capital campaign. We needed a campaign to pay off our debt that we've incurred in our new building. And so a campaign steering committee came together that night in the church parlor. We began to talk about a timeline of dates and the concept of what this campaign would look like. How would we do the PR and how would we do marketing? Would we employ a consultant or would we just jump in, which we did? We began to talk about the print of materials that we would need and the video that we would want to occur. And I wanted it all to happen in 9 weeks, and they rolled their eyes. We needed to finish our campaign before Holy Week in order that Holy Week would be that week of our attention would be on worship and leading up to Easter. That evening, that Monday in January, when we left, we only had one assignment. That was we needed a theme. We needed a scripture reference to go with the theme. Well, that night, folks began on the committee, began to send me their ideas for a theme. They went right to work. Many said, "This is our moment." It had been our campaign theme back in 2014, and it was our campaign theme again in 2016, and so they said it's a pretty good theme. This is our moment again. This is our moment part three. Someone suggested, how about press on? We need to just keep pressing on. I had two that I suggested. Together we pay. I thought that was good. They said, forever we pay, it feels like, and maybe. Or how about debt be gone? Well, they didn't like any of my suggestions, and I'm glad. By Wednesday of that week, the steering committee had chosen the theme, Keeping the Faith. Keeping the Faith. Susie Childers and Sarah Levine went to work on developing all the print material that you have received and working wonders with their creativity. We printed all the material with all the dates and all the timeline. We planned a kickoff event that would happen the first Wednesday of March. We mailed out the packets for those who weren't there to pick up the packets. And looming across the ocean was a novum coronavirus. Before we could even go forward with the campaign, COVID-19 came to us. It was a gut kick at best. All of our plans, all of our ideas, all of my timeline was suddenly postponed. All the print material had the dates of Palm Sunday and Easter, and all of that was for naught. All of my calendar, which I never write in ink, I had written in green ink, and now what would I do but wipe out? And those in the office didn't even know what wipe out was. And my calendar was covered. You see, I knew we had debt. And I knew that the payment on that building was coming, and our last campaign had ended in November, and now we had $17,000 a month at that time would be going out, and we did not have any campaign stewardship capital come in. To say that March, in the midst of COVID and the unknown and the fear of COVID, March and April brought a sense of despondency, not courage, like y'all just saying, for me. I was despondent as I looked at our economy and I looked at jobs and I thought of our congregation, many of whom have lost jobs and others who didn't know what the future financially held and what do we do in worship. It wasn't like we could get together and console one another and schools weren't meeting and lives were so challenged. And you know, in a campaign, you pick a theme and then you think, okay, what verse could we attach to that? And I know that doesn't sound very holy, but that's the way we do it. And so I found myself in end of March, and then in April, when I thought the campaign should be over, and it's not even happening, and when will it happen? And so I went back to the text, and I thought, why did we choose this? I want you to hear, if you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 10, Let me begin reading in verse 19. The writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And yes, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Therefore, let us." Therefore, verse 19 begins. Therefore means we need to look back. Because of this, because of something, therefore. Therefore is a conjunction adverb. It's a transition word, and it always points to cause and effect. Verses 19 through 24, therefore, and then the word since, find it. Since, it says it twice, since we have confidence to enter this most holy place through Jesus Christ, since we can now come before God through Christ, since we have this high priest who stands interceding for it. That, those words in verses 19, 20, and 21, that is life changing gospel theology. Now, in order to catch all of this, we need to scoot back and read a little bit of chapter 10. This is powerful. This is big. Chapter 10, Hebrews, verse 1, the law is only a shadow of good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices, repeatedly, endless, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Verse 4, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, He said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O my God.'" Verse 10, "And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest, Jesus, when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for all sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Woo, that's a lot of theology. That is good, good stuff. Those verses, chapter 10, 1 through 18, finds its summary in the verses 19, 20, 21, and 22. Therefore, since Christ did all of this, the writer of Hebrews, therefore we enter into the very presence of God through Christ. Because of Christ and what He did, we have a new and living way. Christ is our priest who intercedes for us before God. Therefore, and then the text gives us three "let us." Three times the writer says, therefore, let us first draw near to God. Verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings because of Christ. Because of all that that Christ did, let us draw near to God with a clean heart, with a sincere heart, with an open heart, with a heart that has been changed through the blood of Jesus Christ. We now can draw near to God. And we draw near with the full assurance that faith brings. Full assurance. We sing the song, Do you know it? Do you have it? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased by God, born of the Spirit, washed in the blood. Draw near. Because of Christ, we draw near with sincere heart, with full assurance. But the writer didn't end. Therefore, let us not only draw near to God through Christ, but let us hold on to hope. Let us draw near, verse 22, verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Unswervingly to the hope. Our hope doesn't go to the right. Our hope doesn't swerve to the left. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Our hope is all because of Christ and because of what Christ did, becoming that substitutionary redeemer, atoner. Because of that, we draw near to God. Because of that, we have a hope that does not change even with COVID. A hope that does not swerve in any way, because He is faithful. We may not be faithful. Our faith may be little. Mine was. Our faith may be very little, but His faith is great. We just sang it. I love the teenagers who sang, who give me hope when they sang, "Great is thy faithfulness." Oh God, my Father, morning by morning by morning by morning, new mercies I see, all I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is your faithfulness. Let us draw near to God through Christ. Let us hold to hope unswervingly, because he is faithful. And there's one more. And let us, verse 24, consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. To spur one another is to encourage one another. Maybe to entice one another. At times, to push one another. Let us see how we can encourage one another toward more love of God and each other, and toward good works. These words, this passage, when I began to read them over again in March and in April, God has used this 10th chapter of Hebrews in my life in a powerful way. That my confidence and my hope is in God. That the blessed assurance I can have, even with a capital campaign in the midst of an economic recession, is in God. And that faith in good works is something that we can encourage one another in love and in good works. Let us spur one another on. First Baptist Church, Lufkin, for 137 years, God has been so faithful. 1882, the Houston East and West Texas Railroad decided that Lufkin would be the city where the railroad would come. It wouldn't go to Homer, but it would come through Lufkin. 1882. And the railroad said, "We want to give some churches some land." And they did. Our church, the Methodist Church, and others, they gave Houston East and West Railroad on Block 7, this block, Lot 1 and Lot 2, off of First Street, they gave to First Baptist Church. Now, there wasn't even a First Baptist Church. Three men, Mr. Kerr, Mr. McMullen, and Mr. Denman, served as trustees. They were meeting together, and they said, well, thank you, Railroad. We'll take the land. It was a whole nother year, 1883, before the church actually organized. 10 charter members came together, signed their name, and said, we are a church. We're the First Baptist Church in this town. One year, I can just hear them now. Well, we got the land. Well, that's good. It's good to have land. The railroad was good. We're grateful for the land. Thank you, Mr. Perkins. He always takes credit for that. Thank you for the land. We have the land. Now we're organized. And then for 10 years, the land just sat there. Maybe they had a grounds crew that mowed it like our crew does every week. 10 years they drove by and said, that's our land. Block 7, lot 1, lot 2. 10 years. We met with the Methodists. We met in schools. We met with the Methodists as long as we could. The Methodists really got upset when we would get too much water from our baptism in their building, and we'd get real upset when they would have all their dances. So we said we need to split. We need to build our own building. It was 1892, 1893, 10 years after that land, that they began to build that first wooden building down on First in the corner of Bremont. It was a beautiful wooden building. They built a little, the men of the church built it. They raised some money and would build on weekends, and they would raise some money and build, and they were just about finished. They borrowed money from each other. Can you imagine? There wasn't even one bank in Lufkin. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? No banks in Lufkin. There were no banks. So they pulled their money together, and then boom, the week they moved in, some say, definitely within the month, the panic of 1893 occurred. A recession across the United States that the nation hadn't experienced anything like that before. And suddenly the money was all gone. They had a great building, but they had no way to pay for it. They had loaned, they had borrowed from each other. The women of the church said, you men keep working. The women started having ice cream suppers because they knew people would pay anything to eat homemade ice cream. And they began to have bake sales, and the women began to pray. And through ice cream and bake sales and a lot of prayer, the funds were raised, and that first building was a reality. Now, we know that buildings do not a church make. We have found that out during this pandemic, that the church is so much more than brick and mortar. But in the history of any church, buildings become like a chapter, if you would, a chapter, a place marker where we go back to. That was 1893. You thought they would learn their lesson, but by the mid-1920s, the church had outgrown that building, and they said, we need an auditorium. And they began to design and get plans for the First Street Auditorium that many still remember, that beautiful sanctuary for our church. They, again, didn't have enough money, so they took out a loan. They borrowed $30,000 to build that first old, what we call the old auditorium, the old chapel building. $30,000 was their note. That was good. They moved into the building. It was already filled. It was a great, and then, of course, the Great Depression, October of Wall Street, and suddenly they couldn't make their payment. Many lost jobs. The money was not there. Sunday by Sunday, they would come and give their offerings to the church. And about once a month, they would lock the doors and say, this is pay up Sunday, and you're going to stay until we raise enough to make this month's payment. And that $30,000 note, it took the church 10 years to pay off that $30,000. But God was faithful. The people were faithful. And they paid it off. Post-World War II, again, the church built the education building. And I love it that in 1950, when they built that building filled with asbestos, three stories, the building's purpose was for preschool, children, and offices. Much like the building we're about to move into. Preschool, children, and offices on the same site. And then this sanctuary, this beautiful sanctuary which draws us into the presence of God, Pastor McElvain and a church committee, Ray Scott serving as architect and his partner, designed this beautiful building. I don't know what it would cost today, but you know, in 1969, all of this, $650,000. But the church didn't even have $200,000. So the church borrowed $450,000 with their $200,000. That's not probably good financial sense. But God led them, and the church borrowed, and they burned the note some years later. Oh, I could go on and on. The building behind me, 1977, Dr. McElvain, pastor, Reverend Perkins, the education minister, a building where all of us could do Bible study and Sunday school because we'd outgrown that building. And that's the building that we're refurbishing, the entire top floor, 7,000 square feet of a youth space. When they built that building in 1977, that was the furthest thing from their mind. And yet that building allows us to do something in 2020. And then in 1986, Dr. John Wood, chairman of that committee that built VFLC. This church has been about being faithful to God and courage and stepping out boldly. In 2011, a building committee was formed to build the building that's almost complete. In 2014, after going through some difficult years as a church without a pastor, the church said, let's go. This is our moment. The money was raised. Old buildings were then raised. And in a few weeks, we will move in to a new preschool children's office building, the Wright Chandler Great Hall for fellowship and community. Our youth space that we borrowed to totally renovate that whole second floor. We will have an adult building, a parlor, an FLC in this sanctuary. Therefore, since God has been so faithful and God has led us, and at times we have followed and at times we probably haven't, but God has remained faithful since God has done so much in the life of this church, 137 years. And since those before us planted a tree, since those before us gave of their dollars, they gave more than they should have. And some of them never enjoyed. I've been thinking all week. I moved my files. I've kept every funeral I've ever done in ministry. I have over 680 separate files of funerals. And as Ray was helping me put those in my new cabinet, I thought of many who used to sit right here, who have given and loved and prayed and given, and now we will enjoy a building, the shade of a building that they gave to, that you have given to, that you supported and planned and envisioned and prayed. And so today, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and a deep faith. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we have, not in ourselves, but our hope in God who is faithful. And let us consider how we can spur each other on to love and, yes, to a good deed. We've been praying for months now, God, what is your will for my life as it relates to my financial gift to this campaign? God, what is your will? What is your will for my life as it relates to this campaign in this church at this time? I hope you've listened to God as you prayed that. We mailed out a card, and again, if you don't have one, we have many of these available. If you have one, some of you have already put them in the offering plate today, and that's what we'll do as we leave. If you're on site, we'd encourage you to put it in the offering plate. Others who are watching have already mailed your card in. Some have told me today, Pastor, I'm still praying. Well, that's good. You keep praying. I know God will answer that prayer. On the card, it's very simple. If you see it, we want your name. It's amazing the cards that come in without a name. We want your address, your email. You change email and phone numbers more than any people ever. Here's what I want you to hear. The card says, this is not a contract, by the way. This is a pledge. This is a promise. This is a God willing, and the creek don't rise. That's what this is. This is saying, with God's help and God's leadership, this is what I want to do for the next 3 years. If economic recession happens, if you lose your job, if things fall apart, you're not bound to this. Likewise, if the stock market goes up, Scotty West manages your money, give more. Double what you said you were going to give. Here's what the card says: knowing that God can do more than we ask or even imagine in faith, I pledge, I want to give to Keeping the Faith campaign over and above my regular church offering. Now, hear that. If you take what you're already giving to the church, you give $200 a week to the church, and you say, well, I'm now going to give it to this campaign, that's not helping. We won't have air conditioning. We won't do missions or ministry. This campaign is above and beyond what you're already doing. That's why our capital campaign is often hard. Many times folks are giving all they can to support the ministry of the church. We want you to keep being faithful to the ministry, the budget that we are doing as we look at a church. But then beyond that is this campaign. So how do you give? Well, some may choose to give every week. That would be 156 weeks. Every week you could write a check. Every week you could put send money in the mail. So you begin to think, can I give $100 a week? I think that's not a lot. In 3 years, you do the math, $15,600 if you gave $100 a week. Or maybe you say, I can't deal with every week, but I can keep track with every month. The bank will draw it. I will give every month. That would be 36 months. Sometimes we look at that end number. I want to give $25,000. You think, there's no way I can give $25,000. I want to give $30,000. But break it down into weeks and months and years. That helps us come up with a figure. You may want to just give once a year. Many members do that. At the end of a year, they look at what they have and they give in December. Other members may want to say, every September 1, I'm going to make my yearly gift. You may say, don't worry about how I'm going to give. All you need to worry about is that bottom number. I'll figure it out. I may give it all right away. And let me speak to that, because the first $500,000 of cash that we receive, that first $500,000 we've already spent. Well, we've already spent all of it. But the first $500,000 will go to pay off that youth building. We borrowed $400,000. We will pay that off, that first $400,000 cash. The next $100,000, we have a playground. We haven't ordered it. We have it picked out. We've studied it and met with playground people. We need $100,000. So the first $500,000 cash we will spend. And every dollar after that will go towards our debt. We just refinanced our debt, moving our payment from $17,000 a month to $15,000 a month. But every month, that $15,000 has to come to pay off. Every dollar that is given after that $500,000 will go to reduce the debt. You talk about planting a tree for kids. One of the greatest things we can do for our kids and our youth and our young adults is to pay that debt, to pay it off as quickly as possible. Yes, the church back in the 20s, they did take 10 years. And if we have to take 10 years, we will. But if we don't, let's not. Let's pay it off so that we then can move forward with missions and ministries with our dollars. God, what is your will for my life as it relates to this building, which is more than brick and mortar? A building which says to our community, we love families, we love children. I just keep picturing those children in that preschool nursery area having a teacher sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I keep picturing children in a small classroom in the children's area being shown the books of the Bible, learning the books of the Bible, and being able to find Hebrews. Where is Hebrews? I can't hardly find it. Having them find John 3:16 in their own Bible and having that Sunday school teach them not only about Jonah and the whale, but about Jesus. I keep picturing teenagers with all the change in their life, with the world all around them, teenagers on Wednesdays finding their place, their room, a youth room where they can be who they are and they can ask hard questions, and they can pray for each other, they can be so transparent. I picture the great hall where we as a church gather to do family, where we celebrate what God is and who God is for us, a place where we gather, yes, for information and yes, for coffee, but where we say we are family. Oh, God has blessed us all of these years. Well, we have the faith. Let us draw near. Let us keep an unswerving hope, and let us encourage one another toward good deeds. You may see and have noticed the last 24 hours the flags across our nation at half staff in honor of the late Congressman John Lewis. I heard this quote just last night from Lewis's book, Across the Bridge. Congressman Lewis said, "Faith is being so sure of what the Spirit has whispered in your heart that your belief in its eventuality is unshakable." Hear that again. Faith is being so sure of what the Spirit has whispered in your heart that your belief in those words, in its eventuality, is unshakable. Keeping the faith. Shall we pray? God, the story of First Baptist Church Lufkin is a story of grace and forgiveness, a story of buildings and budgets and baptisms. It's a story of going forward and at times going backwards. It's a story that's not perfect, but it's a story that's covered with the grace of God. It's a story of faithful men and women who have prayed and have given and have loved. It's a story of not a perfect church, but a good church. It's a story of people who've understood sacrificial commitment. It's a story of people of different financial means. It's a story of people who've given gifts, not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice. It's a beautiful story of your work. God, on this Commitment Sunday, as we drop our cards into an offering plate, as we go to our homes, as we make a commitment, as we've tried to discern your will, oh God, we simply commit it to you. We pray for the loaves and fishes, that you will multiply what little we have, and that together we will spur one another on to grand and glorious things for your sake in the kingdom. And as we leave here this day, our only words are, to God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory. Great things He has done, great things He is doing, great things, God, you will do. May we be faithful. Let us, therefore, since Christ, let us, is our prayer. In Christ's name, amen. Would you stand?